Welcome to the Make Me a Pro podcast with your host, Charity Menday.
Hi guys, and welcome back to Make Me a Pro. This is season 2, episode 1. I'm so excited to be back and sharing what you guys have said you want to hear more of. This week's focus is on networking, and I'm so excited to introduce my guest this week. But before I do that, I wanted to mention that this episode is sponsored by Breather, which is a mobile app which enables you to connect with professionals over lunch. The app is super easy to use. Simply log in via LinkedIn and start searching for available and interesting professionals nearby. You send a request, book a restaurant in your area, and meet up over a meal. I've used this myself, and I think it's really, really great. So check it out. For more information, visit my website, makemeapro.org, or search the iTunes store for Breather. That's B-R-E-A-T-H-R. I'll be interviewing the founders next week, so keep an eye out for that. Okay, so I'm super excited about this week's guest, Susan Rohan, who is the author of the classic bestseller, How to Work a Room. The book has sold over 1 million copies in 13 countries, and she's also the author of The Secrets of Savvy Networking. She's been named by Forbes.com as one of the networking gurus of 2015, and her clients range from Coca-Cola, LinkedIn, Yale University, and Hershey's Chocolate. So Susan, welcome to Make Me a Pro. I'm just going to head straight in there and ask, what is the difference between working a room and networking?
Well, everybody uses the word networking to describe working a room because they're afraid to call it mingling, but it really is socializing. Mm-hmm. When you think of how it is when we go to a party or a friend's, wedding or some social event, it is socializing. Mm-hmm. When you do it for business, it is still socializing, and we all have to bring our social skills. But the world of work, people say things, I hate networking. And what they mean is they don't hate following up with someone. They don't hate sending something they said they would send. What they really are uncomfortable, shy at the thought of walking into a room full of people they don't know. Mm-hmm. So how to work a room is, how do you walk into a room full of people you don't know? How do you approach people? How do you build a conversation? How do you exit a conversation? Mm-hmm. Honestly, in every program I give, I don't care if it's 3,300 or 30, the number one question is, how do I get out of conversations and be gracious?
Yes. I think that's one of the trickiest things, because you find yourself in the situation where you're chatting, and you realize, wait a minute, I'm here to meet people. So how do you do that?
Here's what you do. And I'll give you the example. You're talking to someone. It's a good conversation. What you do is, and this is in the book, but I want to tell this to everyone. You interrupt yourself, not them. Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, my goodness, it was so interesting, fun, informative, coincidental to talk to you about, and whether you want to say Manchester United, or here in the U.S. we might say the San Francisco Giants or the Warriors, or a favorite movie, Jurassic World. Oh, don't even ask. I went to that one. and you summarize what you talked about just in a little phrase so the other person knows you were listening. And then you might say, oh, do you have a card? Okay. And if they don't offer you or ask you for yours, then you go back to polite language with an extra few words and say, may I offer you one of mine? Mm-hmm. And that way you don't just put the card in a pocket or a purse. You look at the card and borrow from those people, you know, in the cultures that honor people's business cards. And what's good about that is you look at their face, you look at their business card, you look at their face. It helps your own memory.
Well,
put a face to a card.
What happens then for a lot of people in my generation, you know, with the smartphone generation, we tend to not have business cards, or when you've run out, you head straight to LinkedIn. What about that? Where does that fit into it all?
I will, and I hope I'm going to sound very old school on this, because I live near the Silicon Valley, where a lot of people don't have business cards. I even had a gentleman say to me, oh, I'm going to take a picture of your business card, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but when I get home, I'm going to throw it out. Now, the interesting thing is I kept his business card. I sent an email. It was so nice meeting you and your wife. I hope, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know who I am because guess what? I'm one of his 500 to 1,000 contacts on LinkedIn. But he didn't live with my card long enough to remember me. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fine to say, yes, we're going to go to LinkedIn, and yes, I'm going to invite you. But the reality is most people don't even know who they're linked into. Mm-hmm. So I would say, even if your company doesn't give you a card, even if you think you are working at LinkedIn, well, I know I spoke at LinkedIn at one of their conferences, and it was a woman at LinkedIn, when I asked her for her card, said, oh, well, you can look me up on LinkedIn. Here's my answer. Don't give me homework. If someone asks you for a card, it's so easy to give it where they can get a sense of you. Mm-hmm. And if you're really trying to get that first job, get the second job, build a career, and someone asks you for a card, why would you say to them, no, I don't believe in them? Wouldn't it be just easier to say, oh, yes, here it is. And do you have one? And then you've had an exchange of a card that can be followed by an exchange of emails, conversations, and of course, an invitation to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. We want to be as present as we can in all modalities, not just follow me on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. So it's about acting as well as, you know, just getting the information, I guess.
Well, you know, if someone is in your LinkedIn and you do nothing with it, well, what's that about?
That's, exactly.
And the same thing is, if you go to an event and you meet people and you do exchange cards and you do, or you take a picture of their card, at least look at it later. If you don't follow up with a quick note, and by the way, the email, the invitation to LinkedIn, you got to be sure you don't use their boilerplate. You, in order to help the people you meet, you write a personalized LinkedIn message that tells the person and where you met and reminds them of the connection. That's really going to help people be connected to you and remember you when they hear of a position, a job, an opportunity that they want to share with you. Make it easy for people to remember you. I mean, you know, the question I'm most often asked, oh, how can I be memorable? Well, remember to bring your cards.
Simple yet effective.
And let me tell you the difference. So working a room is about the socializing, mingling, circulating, meeting people, having nice conversations, not hogging someone's time, but starting that first connection so that over time you build a relationship. Networking is really the follow-up, and I'll tell you how I can prove it. One, I wrote two separate books, each 250 words, nothing repeated. How to Work a Room, The Secrets of Savvy Networking. But the other thing is, there are people that go to events, and they're great at mingling in working room, mm-hmm. and they have no follow-up. They're mm-hmm. a one-night stand. Mm-hmm. And then there are people that are wonderful. They send you the article. They do an e-intro to someone who might have a position that you'd be interested in. But the thought of walking into a room full of people at an event still is daunting for them. Mm-hmm. So what we need are both skills, but I think we have given the mingling part. Mingling is what we ought to be doing because it really means meeting, conversing, having lighthearted conversation. Because mm-hmm. you really don't want to be at an event and discuss famine and war and disease. You really want to have conversations that start a relationship off on a positive note.
Mm-hmm. And they really have to get to know you as well. I think that's something that people can kind of forget is, you know, the point of networking is to get to know you and to build that relationship, not to prove that you know all these things about the world.
Right. And I think that's what is important. I'm so glad you said that. What I tell my audiences, and I believe it, I wrote it in How to Work a Room, and this is something if you're taking notes, this old teacher says you have to take notes, bring who you are to what you do. Mm-hmm. If you always present the position you're looking for or your degree or what you want to be, you forget to bring the whole of you there. I mean, you have parents, you have pets, you know, you have grandparents, you had a parking space problem. If you share your stories, people connect with the stories. And so you'll be more connected to people if you bring who you are to what you do rather than just what your goal is for being in that room.
Mm-hmm. And on that note of, you know, bringing your whole self, what do you think are some of the key things that those entering the world of work, the ones that are kind of starting to figure out how this all works, what do we need to know about managing ourselves in a room, in the office, at meetings, in networking and networking environments? What do we need to know at the beginning of the food chain?
At the beginning, I like when you say that. It's the beginning of the food. When you start, you always have to be on your best, you know, put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think is important, and I really emphasize that because I even see that people of all ages make the mistake. Mind your manners. All that you heard growing up and you heard throughout school is, you know, be nice, say please and thank you. People really respond to polite people. Also, here's another thought. Bring your sense of humor wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just that you tell a joke, because by the way, I'm not impressed with people that can tell me 10 jokes in a row, because that's a way of controlling a conversation rather than having one. But bring your sense of humor where you can appreciate things that people say that are funny. I do that all the time. Someone will say something and I go, oh my gosh, that is so funny. How brilliant. Can I write that down? I want to remember it. Be lighthearted when you're in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are on the search for a job, but you look like you are, that can be very off-putting. You want to remember you're in the room to meet, connect, have lighthearted conversation. And after that exchange, even if you bang your smartphones together, I think that's what they do to exchange contact information. I'm not sure. They break their screens. But what you want to do is make it easy for people to find you, to remember you. And that's why I say, if someone asks for a card and you don't have one, that's a faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be people who want to bang their phones together and all LinkedIn, but you want to make sure that you have a way of remembering the people that you've invited to LinkedIn, and that over time you stay in touch with them. Not with blind emails, but with, or blind LinkedIn messages to a whole group, but one-on-one. That's my top advice. Be a person to the people you meet.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of treating people as prospects who can find you and lead you to your next job, this is very old school. Treat everyone as a person, not as a prospect.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so powerful, because one of the key things that people say about networking and, you know, meeting new people in a business environment is, you know, networking is awful and they don't like it because it's using people, or it's creating a pipeline of people for future projects that, you know, will just help you advance and not actually having that human aspect. So what do you say to people who say that?
Well, number one, here's what I say. Well, we have, by the way, none of this is new, and I'm just here to tell the listeners, I heard this 30 years ago, actually 35 years ago. Networking is using people. I had a woman who called herself my femtor, because she said, how could you call me a mentor? I'm a woman. I'm your femtor. Sally Livingston said to me years ago, replace the mindset of I'm using people with that of I'm utilizing resources.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, how you make that work is you have to think that you yourself are a resource to other people. So it isn't I'm using you, it's how can we help each other? Well, the truth is nobody calls me for a recipe for anything that they have to cook, but they will call me and say, how do I get into speaking business? How do I start to approach writing a book? I just coached someone's granddaughter on how do I work a room starting my post-college job search and career. And I do that. But really, that's what I do. But you have to know that you can bring that to any event you go to, whatever you're good at. And you're good at something, or you wouldn't be ready to start in the workplace. I have many friends who are so brilliant at technology that I can call and get help, and I can give them help on something else. So instead of thinking I'm using people, think of utilizing resources and being willing to be a resource to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Second thing I wrote, and I'm originally from Chicago, so it has a lot of Chicago attitude, and especially in Secrets of Savvy Networking. It's only using people if you're really a user.
Wow.
The people who are there to, oh, you want to do that? Oh, I have a cousin that has a company and they're looking for whatever. If you're there to bring all of who you are to what you do and be a person to people, that is really going to hold you in good stead. You'll be memorable. And go everywhere with enthusiasm. No one likes to be around someone that has no energy, that looks like they're sucking the air out of a room.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all met those people. We just don't want to be them, and we don't want to be talking to them either. So that's my answer. It's the people that go with a generous heart. Oh, I'm going to help people, and maybe I'll get help back, but I'm going to go there and think of what I could do to be a good resource. That's not using. The real powerful thing that will make you memorable is when you make things happen for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people, oh, what can I do to make things happen for myself? Well, I said, hey, anybody can make something happen for themselves. What can you do that makes things happen for other people, opens up a door, introduces them? Maybe you know of a flat that is empty and ready for to be rented, and you know someone interested in a flat living in that area. Well, why wouldn't you tell them about it?
Mm-hmm.
I have people say to me, oh, I hate networking. And I say, really? Have you ever recommended a restaurant? Of course. Have you ever gone to a restaurant someone else recommended? Of course. I go, that's what it is. Let me define what networking really is. Networking, and this is my dear Sally Livingston's definition, networking is a mutually beneficial exchange of information, ideas, leads, support, and if you're lucky, laughter. And it benefits our personal and our professional life. It's an exchange. It's
mm-hmm.
not one way. It's reciprocal.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to managing the virtual room and networking in the kind of virtual space, what are some of the things that we need to look out for, or what are the kind of ways that a lot of people miss?
Number one, you do still have to mind your manners. I know people are going to go, what is she talking about? Well, there are people that are inappropriate in Twitter, inappropriate on Facebook, inappropriate in Google+, and really are inappropriate also on LinkedIn. And inappropriate means a myriad things. And that could just be that you're just blasting out, that you're always giving your opinions. You have to be a sharer online. In order to be valued as an online source, you have to share URLs, information, ideas. If you're always pitching yourself, people get really annoyed. So I would say the number one aspect of online networking is know the culture of that particular site.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter is different than LinkedIn. LinkedIn is different than Facebook. Google+ looks like it's a combination of both. But before you start to use a source, do your homework. Go online and get a YouTube explanation. But know which rooms you're in and really know the culture of it and some of the do's and don'ts. Like in Twitter, if you take someone's idea and don't say RT for retweet, people will get really annoyed because you haven't given credit. I love Twitter. That's my favorite, as a matter of fact. And Facebook, of course you're going to, and I'm going to say, you're not going to put anything on Facebook that you wouldn't want your favorite grandparent to see.
Why is that?
Because it's cached. You go to look for a new job or a first job, and the first thing they do is they check you out online.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see what your tweets are. They want to see what you've written on Facebook. Have you put silly pictures I mean, if you're looking for that first job, I'd go through my Facebook and Instagram account and delete anything that could in any way smack of, well, we better not hire this person. They're kind of a little too whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that we need to act like grown-ups. And by the way, I know a lot of grown-ups that don't do this. I mean, that they act like silly kids, and they really don't have a sense of this doesn't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sure, there are a lot of articles written about people who've lost jobs because they put the picture of themselves with their friends at college with a keg of beer, and employers look for that first. At least they do that here in the U.S. and North America, but I bet they do that everywhere now.
I think they do that everywhere. It's part of, you know, do your due diligence on knowing who you're going to work with and who you're dealing with. But in terms of practical skills that we can take, what would you say are kind of Susan's top five tips on, you know, being a savvy networker?
Okay, the first is, I'm going to mix this. The top tip, when you're invited to an event and you hear of an event, top tip, look at your calendar, look at the date, and if you're available, send in that RSVP, whether it's online or on an email or whatever. Put it on your calendar and show up. We have a new thing where people RSVP, and I think they did an article in the New York Times, where people are saying yes, and when they mean maybe, and they're saying yes when they mean no. Don't do that to people. I just went to a graduation party that had a reservation list for 50 people, and I think it was like $50 a person, and 10 people didn't show up. Do you really want to cost someone money? That's, you have to think to yourself, what's the reputation I am creating? Not just your online reputation, but also your offline reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, when you are going anywhere, before you go there, think of how you're going to introduce yourself. What's your self-introduction? It's not an elevator pitch. 7 to 9 seconds. Pleasantry, heed to the event you're at. You're not going to introduce yourself at a local professional association the same way you're going to introduce yourself at maybe a Chamber of Commerce or Rotary event.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third aspect of that is give the benefit of what you do rather than a job title or the title you would like. So have your self-introduction prepared. In terms of being a savvy networker, whether online or offline, be aware that it still is something that creates an impression. How you treat people and what you say, as I've heard this said, and this is an expression here, don't talk smack about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't belittle, don't get into anything online that even looks like a bit of a contest. We're sitting here going, good on Taylor Swift. She refused to allow Apple to include her latest album because they don't pay people for the first 3 months and just use their music freely. She has created a change by standing up for other people, even though she has all that money.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I think we, and you see what I just did. I mentioned Taylor Swift. A lot of people have heard of Taylor Swift. A lot of people in technology, it's been all over the news of what she did. It's really important as a savvy networker, whatever, that you are aware of what's going on. Read the newspaper, whether it's online, whether it's in print, whether it's on your new Apple Watch or Dick Tracy watch.
Or a podcast.
Or a podcast. Listen to people that you favor. If you're, and I'm glad you mentioned podcasts. If you are interested in a specific area, how to, as a millennial, how to get started. Okay. The top tips. You can register for so many podcasts, and it's really tailored to you. You can hear it at your time, but also read a paper. Also, be aware of what's going on. Nothing is worse than when someone says, did you hear about that big storm? And you say, no. Well, where was your head buried?
Well, funnily enough, it's actually listening to podcasts. That's one of the ways that I listen to, well, I read the news as well, because there's so much, the internet has got so many things that it allows you to kind of prepare for the world and access what's going on in loads of different ways.
Right. And there's something, and I know there must be many of these, but there are two content curators that I like. One is the Daily Beast, but I get a daily briefing from theweek.com that tells me what's going on every day that I should know so that I am aware of the world. At this point, you want to start at your young age to be aware of a world beyond that little neighborhood that you're in, because we're now in a global economy.
Mm-hmm.
You could be working for a company headquartered halfway across the world, but you have to know what's going on. Podcasts help, reading help, and showing up so you have the benefit of making contacts in person.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a sense of who you are. You can be nervous, but I promise that if you prepare and know how you're going to introduce yourself, and when you read these papers or listen to these podcasts, think of 3 to 5 conversation topics you can have. It can be about a movie. It can be about the weather. I am so tired of people saying, oh, small talk is so insignificant. I can't stand it. I hate it. You know what I wrote when I wrote, what do I say next? Small talk has never been denigrated by anyone good at doing it. You know, really, small talk is not small. It's the way we start to get to know people and the smart people. When I wrote, what do I say next? I interviewed 100 great, who I thought were great conversationalists. The interesting thing is not one of them denigrated small talk. To a one, they all saw small talk as a way to start a conversation, get to know people. Oh, you play lacrosse. Oh, you play cricket. Oh, you're a golfer. Oh, I see that you do quilts. My great aunt did quilts. In fact, they're in an art gallery. Give people something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the weather does. So I'd love you all to revisit the concept of small talk as being small and see it as the start to something big.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, Susan, how do people get in touch with you? How do we find out more about your work? But also, if people want to get ask you any further questions, how do they do that?
Well, this one is very easy. The website is either howtoworkaroom.com or susanroane.com, and that's SusanRoane. Come there. Email is susan@susanroane.com. And please feel free, if you have a question, send it to me. I will answer it. You know, I'm a former school teacher. We always answer the questions. But it's important that I give you this. If you really have a burning question, or if you say, hey, I think my school would like to hire you to speak to our next group coming into the university, call me. It's here in the U.S., but it's 415-461-3915. Or you can send me an email and we can arrange a Skype call.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk to me, Susan.
Oh, you're welcome. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @susanroane.com or @howtoworkaroom.com. I give a ton of tips, share ideas, share things you can talk about that even have nothing to do with me, but I make sure that I stay in touch and I respond. So you can even send me a direct message or a tweet and you'll hear from me.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you. This has been fun, and I just hope everyone gets a good start to their career and has a lot of luck.
Well, thanks to Susan. I hope you guys listening in found that useful. I know I did. Thank you also for listening in, and for more information on all the stuff you heard in this episode, you can visit the new site, makemeapro.org, or connect by the Facebook page. And if you want to reach out to me directly, you can email me on charity@makemeapro.org or find me on Twitter @MissMenday. And alternatively, you can always give me a Google on LinkedIn. Until next time, guys.